Blakey's book and Anthony Summers' book be considered part of that?
Yes.
They're accurate up to it. Pretty accurate.
Fair accurate.
I mean, details around
yes.
it.
Yes. Much of the material that was from the Warren Commission is still sealed to this day.
Yes.
And much of that which would be released by the Warren Commission as to those dates, the will be proved that much of those books is accurate. But few followed that through to Hoover.
Yeah, it seems that I mean, Oswald didn't have doubles.
No.
But the idea that some guys were trying to pretend there were doubles or create the atmosphere that were, was that one of their plans?
You see, how do you obfuscate a situation? You confuse witnesses. That old joke of a person that has a car painted white on one side, black on the other, so that witnesses would contradict themselves in court.
Right.
Is very true here.
So they, beg your pardon?
Here were people moving, people to, it was a chaotic situation. The whole objective was to create chaos.
Right, so they knew that Oswald would be the patsy, so they made it look like there were doubles.
Yes.
So it's, in this, all the speculation about it, it's a lot simpler than people figured, than people have written about.
Yes, it's simple.
Yeah, I see.
But you must set up a situation where it can happen. Backup, confusion, gunfire. You see, one point has been brought out. The Zapruder film. That
all participants are now unmuted.
How's it going, Bob?
Hello. Hi, Robert.
Hiya. Are you guys busy?
No, Bob keeps generating dead air.
Is everybody busy? Keep them busy.
Let me mute these idiots.
Here's Bob. How you doing, Bob?
All participants are now muted.
Bob, are you there? Bob, it's your executive producer saying you have dead space on the radio. Are you there? Or is the we waiting for the tape to resume? Oh, Bob muted himself. Is that what Madeline's saying? Bob muted himself. Did Bob go off? Did Bob come back?
Well, yeah, Bob, I think he's gone. His phone's not on the board.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, he's definitely still in process, so I'm assuming he's maybe just dropped off.
Yeah, if he dropped off, he'll dial in short.
Oh, there he is.
Expect.
Yeah, there he is. All right. He's back. Bob? Should I break out in my rendition of some kind of a song?
Okay. Hey, Ginny.
Yes, Bob.
Do you know when I got disconnected? 2 minutes ago? Ten minutes ago? Where's Bill? Can Bill come in and give me a proper assessment of where we're at?
Well, yes. Bob, your phone you cut out. I don't know when, but the tape ended about 4 to 5 minutes ago.
Right. All that, me rewinding and seeing what I was missing was recorded, right? Bill?
I don't know about that. I was in the other room, but my dead air alarm went off about 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, it was. So we need to have someone comment. When you, these guys are typing away over there, and, you know, and they can't even help me about what they heard. They're too busy talking to each other. But you guys,
the
listen.
Alarm went off at 15:02 by your station timer, and it's 8:36 right now.
15:02, and so it's 6 minutes. That's not very long. Perfect. What I did, Bill, well, can anybody confirm this? Actually, we probably went over the top of the hour and missed a little bit. You know, I forgot about that. But what I need to know is that I stopped the recording, and I went back to find out if I'd missed something. And I listened, or actually I just started to play what I thought was missing, and I realized I hadn't missed anything. But then it led into discussion about the back of the neck, being shot in the neck. Now, Kenny, you idiots there who are listening, did you hear me talk that stuff? Yes, Cyrus Summers says you replayed Oswald. Madeline says, see, Bob, you're setting off Bill's alarm. We were only trying to fill dead air. No, forget that, Madeline. Did you hear me explain how the shot in the back of the head causes the head to go back?
Yes, we did hear that, Bob. Yes.
All right, that's important. So,
EG session, yes.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was just getting ready to bring us up to date, and then all of a sudden I heard Rob of Tottenham's voice. That's when it happened, you know. And I think I was disconnected at that point. You know, Bill, was I disconnected for some reason? Anybody know why? Right. Dave Neufeld says, normally when Bob has tech anomalies, he plays on Ion. Well, it might have been Ion this time, too, but let's not worry about it. That just pisses Bill off. And Bill's very vulnerable in this final lap. He may not make it. He might make it. So we're not going to bring up anything to disturb Bill. Cider Summers says, as you stopped, as the D cell came up. Right, that's the topic. We must have gone back to the beginning. Yeah, flip back to the beginning. Okay, looks like everything's cool. Everything I wanted to be said, Bill, got recorded. And just when I was getting ready to move it forward, Rob came in and knocked me out or something like that right then, and then I didn't know I was out and blah, blah, blah. So does everybody agree with that? Zen again agrees, it seems. Can I have a second that a nomination, that statement? Can
yes.
Zen...
I agree. Who's, as your executive producer, I agree, Bob. Yes.
You heard all that?
That is an accurate representation, yes, of what happened. Yes.
Okay. And I'm sorry to interrupt your attempt to launch your solo career, but this is Thanksgiving and private
yes,
aggrandizement.
Yes, I was very distraught.
Yeah, private aggrandizement is not appropriate, Ginny, on a religious holiday.
Should be saved exclusively for the shower. I understand.
Yes, yes. Okay, so, and isn't tomorrow the big day where everybody goes shopping? Everybody goes nuts tomorrow, right?
Probably all the 99%ers. My own 1%ers are in that crowd.
That's right, that's right. All right, so I'm going to move this forward to find the appropriate spot where we're going to get, we finished the Kennedy assassination, it seems, and we're going to get in some other really good stuff. O'Dowd story. Did you hear me ask Carolyn, should we stop the O'Dowd story? This O'Dowd story in iodine. Did you hear? Now, that's something you probably didn't hear, right, Ginny? We started to go into this story about a guy named O'Dowd. It was a Carolyn issue. And I said, I don't think we should play that. That's maybe confidential. Did you hear me do that, Ginny? Or anybody hear me do that? But then where's Ginny? Did we get disconnected again? Did we get disconnected again?
We did, but no, I got disconnected. But you're still there, and now I'm back.
Okay. So do you remember when, before we went on, we ended the Kennedy stuff, and then I said, okay, we're going to go on to some other stuff. And then they go, oh, here's something from Carolyn. And I went to a guy named O'Dowd, and I think it's about iodine. Did you hear that part?
Yes, we did.
Right. So everything got recorded. And then when Rob came in and knocked me out, and we know what that means. We know why Rob knocked me out, right? My disconnection there. And Cider Summer says, I said I did not hear O'Dowd, but Ginny did. And so that's why I stopped and went back, because I was going to move us past the O'Dowd section. We didn't need to hear it.
Yes.
So we got to get past that. So I got to play a few bits to see where we're at.
Filming at that particular point.
Water purification systems in the Middle East.
They would be interpreted a number of ways.
Yes.
Not a wrong way, just a number. All that's necessary is to get two conflicting experts.
The O'Dowd thing was water purification in the Middle East.
The validity of the film begins to become questioned.
The O'Dowd is water purification in the Middle East.
Etc.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody, on that information.
When do you see the records in the Warren Commission becoming unsealed?
They say 2025, but in actuality, it will be much earlier than that.
So it's interesting, those who said that Oswald did it will be justified in a way.
Yes.
And those who said another sniper and will be justified.
Yes.
But all of them are only half or one-third right.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now, Carolyn had an interesting story told her the other day.
Okay, I wanted to say this. This session is April 23rd, 1991. In December 91, Oliver Stone's movie is released, JFK, and that brings in legislation to relieve the archives sooner from 2029, and that fulfills the Evergreen prediction given, 8 months before. So the Evergreens are correct here, 8 months later, and then going into 92, within a year, the legislation happened. So very good there. Evergreens, you. There's one for them. They got one. They got that one right. Okay.
Yes, very good.
Right, very good. So I got to go gently long here because we got to jump but not miss anything. But also, we're coming to the end of the 45-minute thing, which requires another gap.
And maybe you could tell about O'Dowd, Carol.
Propellant, rubber-like propellant.
Hussein's people set the oil fires?
Yes.
All right.
There's a dead area, so what's just before there?
Hussein's people set the oil fires?
Yes.
All right.
And is that going to affect the weather patterns for?
It does. Yes.
Yeah, that's in the reading. Oh,
of course.
We're okay there? You want to...
Okay, now moving forward.
And it... Was Senator John Towers' plane a couple of weeks?
Okay, we're going to flow into it. It might take a few seconds. By the way, Ginny, I see that post. We will finish in the 144th hour, Ginny. All right, you can go to the you can go to the market on that one.
All right, I'm going to the market.
Yeah, there's no bank anymore, so go to the market.
Very good.
All right.
In the Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone in the San Francisco case, we just saw a recent film, The Times of Harvey Milk. Was Dan White influenced or programmed to shoot the mayor and Harvey Milk, or was it just his own anger?
His own anger.
All right. Were there certain elements, conservative elements in San Francisco who were happy that that happened?
Oh, yes, indeed.
But they didn't prompt him to do it?
No.
Was Senator John Towers' plane a couple of weeks ago blown up by, you know, conspiracy?
No, there was not a conspiracy. No, that was caused by a mechanical failure of the aircraft itself.
But he was very involved with the defense people.
Yes.
And would be probably an important figure in the obfuscation game.
Oh, yes.
So, in a sense, those live by the sword, die by the sword, he got his just desserts, in a sense?
That he died, he died. But the point is, he died through that mechanical problem in the aircraft itself.
Yes.
The anger of the United States concerning the events of the 50s and events of the 60s is very short term. Many people in that period set themselves up, they became extremely rich, but there is not the emphasis on what was done. More, the greater emphasis of the 90s is clearing up the mess, whether it be an ecological mess or a military industrial mess.
Rather than pointing fingers at who did what?
Yes.
The anger now of what happened in the 50s, 60s, you mean? The
yes.
Citizens in the United States are angry?
No, they're not. It matters. It's done. How do we clean it up?
Well, that reminds me of the Evergreens talked to me about my writing and that my...
Now, this next section we definitely cannot release. I've got to go forward. I've got to hide this part. Figure out where we pick it up again.
Even though we sound irrational, they're more irrational than we are.
So that was like an artistic strategy.
Yes.
As a metaphor.
Wanted to do was to appear irrational. To make everything else look itself irrational.
Why did William Irwin Thompson, who was a good friend of Spangler, David Spangler, he know they were doing that?
Oh, yes. It was well known.
But they didn't talk about it in their publicity.
This is a good section about Thompson and Findorn, their conspiracy. So let's see if we can get back to that without revealing anything about my writing. Okay. It'll be tricky.
Did William Irwin Thompson, who was a good friend of...
They had somewhat similar to that.
Did they tell anybody?
Not truthfully. Realize that the system that they used capitalized on long days, capitalized...
Who said what and kind of gives marks here and there.
But at the same time, realize that if it's known how people can be cheated, then if someone thinks that they've got some way new to cheat, they're wrong, because it's already known.
All right. You know the famous case of Findhorn, where they grew vegetables and that, you know, in the sand or something?
Yes.
Did they have the diesel?
No, but they had somewhat similar to that.
Did they tell anybody?
Not truthfully. Realize that the system that they used capitalized on long days, capitalized on plant feeding and the like, and charred water. They charged the water using psionic machines.
Radionics,
yes.
Did William Irwin Thompson, who was a good friend of Spangler, David Spangler, he know they were doing that?
Oh, yes. It was well known.
But they didn't talk about it in their publicity.
No, they didn't.
They talked about leprechauns.
They talked about everything that was under the sun.
Why would they do that? What's the motive?
You see, they talked about spirits of the ground. They tried that technique. They invoked the spirits of the area. And plus, they used charged water.
Why would they fixate on the spirits and things like that? Why? What was in their makeup to want to emphasize that?
Two basic reasons. One is no one would understand what they meant if they would say that they invoked the spirits of the area, and they did. But trying to explain it made them appear very irrational. But no matter how they described themselves, they would be seen as irrational. What they wanted to do was to appear irrational, to make everything else look itself irrational. If we can do this with what we have, basically scrub land, basically no experience, and the big agri-business complex has problems with growing grain without massive amounts of fertilizers and chemicals, then we are right and they are wrong. Even though we sound irrational, they're more irrational than we are.
So that was like an artistic strategy.
Yes.
As a metaphor. They did actually evoke spirits. There are spirits there to be evoked.
Oh, yes, there are spirits to be evoked.
And that did help them.
It helped them, yes.
Yeah, so they emphasized that rather than the technical charging part.
Yes. But they did not use something as the diesel. No.
Yeah, they did not use that. But what would E.G. say was valuable as an artistic metaphor, that they made the big systems look silly?
It backfired. But nonetheless, it served a purpose.
It changed consciousness.
It changed consciousness.
Where was the backfire element?
The larger corporations showed that they could produce huge amounts of produce. Cleanly and safely, even though they were using great amounts of pesticides.
Was the General Dynamics satellite last week blown up?
General Dynamics, one moment.
It was in the news a week or so ago, maybe Thursday, last Thursday. $100 million.
Oh, yes, one moment. Yes.
Now, who blew that up?
The launch director.
Why?
Problems in the second stage.
Oh, it wasn't. He wasn't sabotaging General Dunham.
Not at all. There were problems in the second stage. Would not even reach partial orbit.
So it was agreed among the directors to blow it up.
It is one person that agrees. That's all that's necessary, because it is not time for a meeting, I assure you. It is read the figures, read the numbers, listen to the people, and within a 30-second window, push and distract.
And there was danger if it was kept functioning, you mean?
They don't know where it would go.
Right.
The trajectories could be estimated, but not with any degree of accuracy.
So that person's the only person who knows it was blown up.
No, he knows it was blown up.
No, he did it, but he's the only one who knows that he did it.
Well, that was well known.
But I mean, the people who own the satellite know that he made the right decision.
Yes.
Once it was explained to him.
Yes.
But that was not presented in the popular press.
No, not in its completeness.
All right. I'd like to go into the process that Marshall called in his literary criticism, the stages of apprehension. He made a lot about two streams of art, the cathartic form of art, which was purgative, and the artist would make some kind of artistic product that would be a metaphor for an enema, a purgation, a
yes.
Catharsis. Then Marshall claimed there was another stream of art called the cognitive tradition, which presented the stages of apprehension up to a moment of epiphany or insight or pattern that would be presented as for something to be contemplated.
Yes.
Could the EGs outline what the stages of apprehension in general would be in that tradition?
Reaching to revelation, yes. Realize that apprehension is temptation, is loss, all of those things associated peripherally with that word. You see, understand the stages were not that clearly defined. But realize that his discussion on art was not fully rounded or fully thought out, because he saw art as a catharsis under all circumstances.
In all circumstances?
Yes, even in that second stream as a form of catharsis.
Yes.
But a different form of catharsis. It's a notation against apprehension. The one can have apprehension. In releasing it through art, one knows what apprehension is. And therefore that being cathartic in value. To Marshall, all art was cathartic.
When you say apprehension, it means apprehension in terms of understanding. It also means nervous, fearful, apprehensive.
Yes.
Different meanings there.
Yes.
I see. Well, if all art was cathartic, why did he try to make this point of contemplation or detachment? He hadn't thought it completely through?
He thought that part through, but you realize that as art was shifting, the time that McLuhan wrote this, that one could contemplate art as catharsis, but not cathartically.
Yeah. His temperament preferred the detached
yes.
mode.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Yes.
I see.
He phrased it somewhat inelegantly, but what he phrased here was, the body does not think when it shits.
Did he say that in his writing?
No, not in his writing.
Now?
No. That's what he said at the time of writing, when he was discussing this with another person.
And could you say the phrase again?
The body doesn't think when it shits.
And now this was, how was this significant to him?
Significant in that, that you can do a process from the body, but the consciousness is not involved with it. It is a form of, quote, catharsis, which you are the observer of this, possibly the participant, but not in a state where it is causing fear and apprehension. Because it was brought to his attention that there were certain psychological states in individuals who would not allow themselves to evacuate because they would feel that they're losing part of themselves. This happens with children sometimes.
Yeah.
And he, from that, carried it forward that one does not lose consciously, one does not lose part of self when one evacuates. So therefore, he was looking at art as catharsis. That you look at art, and there is a catharsis done, but you're not conscious of it.
And then art is used as a product to retrace the steps.
Can be.
I mean, the viewer, the user of the art can use it.
Yes, can be.
Can be, yes. Can we talk to James Joyce? Is it possible to evoke him?
One moment. Please.
He's here?
Yes.
In Eric McLuhan's thesis, he quotes you, Mr. Joyce, as saying that Finnegan's Wake was all about describing television. Now, Eric told me he couldn't find that quote, but he thought it was somewhere. Did you ever say that?
No.
Did he... What did you mean by the phrase television kills telephony in Brothers Broil on page 52 of Finnegan's Wake?
The television destroys. It's a non-participatory. It's strictly observance. You learn nothing. Even when you think you're learning, you're not. It destroys everything.
And telephony was a word of something that was destroyed.
Yes, of communication.
I see. So as you, now what you're talking, Mr. Joyce, is completely different than the way Marshall interpreted it.
Yes.
Were you meditating on the form of television in the 30s when it was just being developed in England?
It was supposed to be the beginning of the scientific age, the fruits of the scientific age, and the scientific age, yes, the telephone itself destroyed much. So would then television destroy that? It eats its own young.
So on page 349, you have the italicized section, which begins in the heliotropical no time. That was about television?
It was about vision. You understand that every communication system eats a previous communication system. And each one is destroying communication. It says that it's enhancing. From Joyce's point, no.
But were there references to the mechanical apparatus of television on page 349?
Yes.
So Marshall's exegesis is correct in that point?
In that point, yes.
Did you, Mr. Joyce, talk to McLuhan once you met after Marshall passed away in both these matters?
And disagreed.
Did you admire the way Marshall creatively used it? Used his work?
He sees television and telephone as telegraph, but McLuhan sees communication as improving. But where is it improved? What has been discussed?
Well, Marshall has talked about the disservices of our communication environments. Was Joyce aware that Marshall took that?
Of course. But still, to McLuhan, the world changed for the better in most aspects. To Joyce, no.
So Joyce and Marshall disagree on about his own work and what it was for.
Yes.
But would Joyce have to admit that Marshall was right, as the EEGs have pointed out, in terms of long-range patterns and how the world is changing?
Joyce says he's right.
Who's right?
Joyce says that he himself is right. Because it's continually destroying communication.
So he...
The words Joyce says at this very moment are, you live in a world of a 10-second sound bite and no information. It's all content.
Would James Joyce... Are you almost a Luddite then?
No, not that the Luddites had the right idea, but because they were destroying for other reasons. But there's only one communication in this world. Electronic communication, from Joyce's point of view, caused all the troubles of mankind.
And what is the only means of communication?
To Joyce?
Yes.
Writing.
What about speech?
Quickly subverted. The speech starts it, writing records it. But to the writer can say that which he cannot say in words. To write is to communicate. To speak is to abrogate writing. Reading. This is that communication is writing and reading. Mankind went nowhere until mankind discovered writing, which Joyce says was the greatest discovery of all time, because thoughts could be carried, thoughts could be used. But where are your writers now, he says? Where are they? What are your reporters? What is being reported? He says he's holding a newspaper over his head and he's saying, there's no news in this. How could they possibly call this a newspaper? There's no news.
A modern newspaper.
Yes, there's no news.
Would he suggest turning off the electric environment then?
To Joyce?
Yes.
Of course.
Now, did Wyndham Lewis agree more with Marshall than with Joyce?
More with Marshall than Joyce. Much more.
Can I ask, Joyce, now that everybody's got their computer, they're starting back at writing. I mean, I have written a number of books and articles.
What you're asking is Joyce to agree in some ways with the fact that electricity can do this.
And flip, yeah.
What he's saying is, in that part where the electronic revolution has come to its senses,
uh-huh.
In that part, because writing is the ultimate communication, and reading is the ultimate skill. But watching, any fool can do that at a kinescope. anyone can do that. Approximately 2 minutes.
My turn.
No, I went. Well, just a follow-up, it's a quick one. When I first spoke to Marshall, there was a short man. I think he had dark hair. Was that Wyndham Lewis 2 years ago?
Yes.
All right, and he's Marshall gets along more with him in that situation.
In
than
that situation,
George.
Yes. Lewis is a. Put it this way. Typewriter was too slow for him.
Yeah.
Always on the lookout for a better typewriter.
The computer.
He said if he could have that, that would have been the best.
Thanks to Joyce and thanks to Lewis. I have a quick question about the homeopathic acupuncture technique I do.
Yes.
We haven't yet announced it, the study. Is there a probability time when this study will be announced for the public?
Ideally, any time past May 30th. Your choice, May 30th. Not before.
Famous person.
And we're trying to find a famous spokesperson for it. Is that a proper avenue?
In any tragedy, no. And the whole thing is up too much.
Yeah. And should we go through Europe, announce it in New York first?
No, we would suggest Toronto.
Really?
With Carol?
Yes. And others.
Mm.
And others.
But that puts the focus too much on me, doesn't it?
True, but this is not final. This is preliminary. The preliminary results seem to prove, just as the Beijing experiments are beginning to prove, that there can be reanimation of the human immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And that though the method itself appear unconventional, the fact that it is gaining certain result is the important point.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're working in a LD ratio of 1:1.
LD, lows come to numbers?
No. Mm-hmm. Lethal.
Oh, dose.
Lethal.
Yes.
It's a 1:1. Uh-huh. One AIDS, one death.
Uh-huh.
Whether uh-huh. it'll be in 6 years, 10 years, one AIDS, one death. So you're working in a 1:1 ratio. Then the results of the preliminary testing must be examined.
Means how, given that there's been these delays and the last famous person died, etc., they were going to use for this project, what do you see as advice to Carolyn and what they could use in a way to present this best?
Best of all?
Yeah, it's most effectively and safely for her and anyone else involved.
News releases and a news conference.
Mm-hmm.
People involved.
Yes. Yes.
And will it go on to be patented and sold through pharmacies?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Do you still have a final comment at this time? Anything else they want to add to anything that you've said?
I have to tell you what Hoover says. He says, I was duped, but I did it because I believed it was in the nation's interest. And while that is no excuse, I believed it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
All people have been contacted. So unless there's any further comments, shall we end the session?
Please.
Thank you. Dear Lord, please enfold these entities in thy love and thy perfection. Amen. Please clear any negative influences from these entities now. Allow the body to become completely relaxed. Perform any healing which may need to be performed. Begin increasing the blood pressure to normal naturally and begin returning all other systems of the body to normal naturally now.
Amen.
Thank you for our session and fairly well.
We do thank you. To you all. God's blessing.
Thank you. And now I would like Michael to awaken feeling completely refreshed, relaxed, and loved. Now, yeah.
There was a 19th century toy. It was a room about the size of this room, but circular. And up across the top of the ceiling would be a mirror and a lens system that would project outside onto the circular screen, almost like a table. And people could stand around this, and this thing would rotate, and you'd see a 360 picture of around you. That's quite the 18th century thing, a heliotrope.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good. Joyce looks at this and says, bloody fools, they could go outside and see it. And kept going into a darkened room to see a picture, then comment on it as if it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
When they could be outside.
He was a nature boy.
Yeah, at that point, yeah. And he says that to him, the steady decline of Western civilization was in the further and further they moved away from writing and reading. To him, that was the not reason, right? But you can reason on paper. You can do it. But to think, you got to writing. To him, was it? And
when did he die?
41. 1941.
And he saw the, they said, the television was just another, one of those stupid little
indoor games.
Yeah, indoor game. And he said that what television should do is have the writing on the television, and you read it, and you should have many, many channels. This whole thing is many, many channels, and there should be a book on every channel. And you click through to find out which book you would like to have. And his thing was to that you could call up a central library and have it transmitted to your home, to your own special receiver. That would be the ultimate, being able to... But then you have to have a writing machine. Everybody should have a writing machine. That's a pencil to paper, and everybody should write. He was a great believer in that.
Yeah, that was not an indoor game to him. You're indoor writing.
Yeah.
Why write about something when you could go out and enjoy it?
Yeah, but to him, the transitoriness of the day was concretized by writing it down on paper.
Yeah. And that's the only, like, toy worth using.
Uh-huh. Now, Marshall, on the other hand, says, we aren't going to go back to writing and just dump the whole damn thing. We're going to expand in that area. Because whether some people dislike it or not, we do need a certain amount of entertainment value. And while if we have everybody in the world knowing something, we're ahead. The communists don't want you to know. So therefore, what do the communists do? They made sure that the telephones and the television is a nothing in the Soviet Union. A nothing. Yet the most open country in the world, quote open, is North America. And that thing is covered with cable, satellite, the whole damn thing. Then Joyce was looking at a word processor and saying, now here's my point. What is one of the biggest selling things about these computers that we buy? Yes, you play games on it, but they are a writing tool. And what McLuhan says, yes, but it's a convertible tool. It can be anything I want it to be. It's a word processing program. It's a mathematical program. It's a graphics program, art program. And that's my point, is that now we have a library of sensory input. But to Joyce, it writes. And therefore, if it writes, then there will be some people, not everybody, there will be some people who actually use it the way it should be done.
So he's real old-fashioned on that point.
Very old-fashioned.
I don't think the EGs would agree with him. They'd agree with the change.
But the other thing to say is that the article is becoming informed, how you become informed, so that you can arrive at it. The whole thing is, everybody should be at the point of that they can make their own options, choices, and alternatives. That's to them. That's the ultimate.
Well, McLuhan would take that point. Diversity.
Diversity. We are not monolithic entities. So, and we've not been designed that. We're omnivores, herbivores, we're carnivores, we're, you name it, we've got it there. We're also multifaceted, multidigited, et cetera, et cetera. There's an opposable thumb, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Multiple ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple ways of thinking.
Well, Joyce thought that television would make everybody think the same way, because all they would get is that little 10-second thing, and that's everything they base their information on. Joyce had his own way. Hansard would be through your television every day.
Hansard.
That's the written report of everything that's said in the House of Commons every day. That should be on one time. Or you should be able to... McLuhan says, well, no, we'd go right into the chamber and we'd listen to the words being said.
That's too transient for Joyce.
Too transient.
Yes. Yeah. So he's a stubborn Irishman on this point.
With writing, you could read this paragraph, read the next paragraph, read the third paragraph, and say, aha, that relates to the first paragraph. And you can go back to it.
And Marshall would agree, but Joyce is being too narrow. Too fetishistic about writing.
Yeah.
But that really makes me understand, Finning. I can see now McLuhan's projection, but I can see how Joyce wrote The Wake and see his point of view in it better as a result of that.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Wake of mankind is through its technology. What Joyce was saying is that every technology eats up the technology before it. He said the telegraph was overtaken by the telephone, was just overtaken by this and overtaken by that. And his great thing is that he says that the number of people who take those little Nintendo games.
Yeah.
He says they're one of the big advances because they block out television. You can't see television. One kid is playing with a Nintendo. The other kid, if he's not interested, has to go read a book or go out and play. He says, more Nintendo games. Yeah. You know, that's his point of view. And that's it.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
The following is a recording of a session given by the Evergreens. The Evergreens is a name we have given.
Okay, I'll bring us in. Unmute.
All participants are now unmuted.
Here. So we are going to... It looks like we got 2 hours left to get to complete 144 hours. So people can begin first to discuss the amazing session you just heard with Awesome. And it was so appropriate for me to hear a discussion over Joyce versus McLuhan's about media in the last part. When you say, Carol, wasn't that quite appropriate for me personally?
Yeah.
So, Carol, you will lead the... Yes.
You have thoroughly drenched us in jism over the last week.
I know. It's a total of, it's like a college dorm orgy. That's what it was. You know, on porn sites, all the college kids get together and fuck their heads off each other's men, women, children. That's the jism. That's what's happened, right?
My word.
You've had, if your father, is your father still alive?
No, he passed yesterday, right around the time Ion left.
Wow. So you had to engage your father all during this week.
It's been really interesting.
I know.
I'm so glad that you guys were around.
That's right. We kept you, you know, jism, you had to wipe, take a shower every time you joined to take a shower and go see your father or elders, right?
Well, they're back east, so I just made a lot of phone calls there.
Oh, you could keep the jism on you then. There was no problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I kept it on.
I hope they hear this someday. So, we were going to talk, and with that phone call, you wanted me to talk later on the day it started, but it didn't matter, right?
No,
You got it through this.
I'm sorry I said that. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's all good.
It didn't matter.
You're sorry you said what?
It didn't matter. That she didn't talk to you.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. Twice.
It doesn't matter. That
several
it doesn't
dozen
matter.
Matters apply there.
Yeah, layers of double doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Right.
Because you had 144 hours of support.
Right, so I sent her... What'd she say? She sort of did?
Yep, that was it.
Right. I've been just sending out an email. Those were those shots were like sort of early fireworks. You're the psh that were going on. So I wrote out to put this on dupes and send it out to other INets and then to the bulk mass. The Bob Fest is not over yet. We will be ending at the 144th hour point. That's 6 days, Carolyn.
Yeah,
six
exactly.
6 days, and then the
exactly.
seventh day, she rested. She
yeah.
rested. 6 days without sleeping. The last hour begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday, November 28th. Join us in the mania, capitalized, in the mania, and vote on the three songs we will play at the end. Phone 602-666-6027 to join the conference call that has gone on for the last 6 days.
You lied, though.
What?
You said without sleep.
Well, I didn't have any fucking sleep. So I knocked out for a couple hours earlier today. Come on. That was a mistake or accident or parallel world visiting or attending someone's funeral. Who knows?
The lie begins.
Yeah, the lie. The cover-up begins.
I accept parallel world obligations.
That's right. That's what I had to fucking check out, man. I had to help Madeline's father return from the guff.
Oh,
he's
God.
Walking around in Beijing, we last reported. He landed back, Madeline. He's already back.
But he's speaking Chinese now.
He's speaking Chinese. He always wanted to be a Chinese person, so he's hanging out there. And he looks exactly the way he looked when he left. So he still looks like a Catholic. And so he's probably put himself in an even worse contrasting situation. A Catholic in China. Now, that's tough, right, at Madeline? So when I left yesterday, that was around noon hour, which means your father passed on 6 o'clock?
It was 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ian comes in the morning, not at noon hour. Well, wait, right. I don't know. No, he comes in, yeah, but he's only here for 20 or 30 minutes. So we see him around 7:30.
I got up a little, like, around 9, and Ian was on, and then at 10, my dad died.
Right, and Ian had
just
left.
Yeah.
Well, so Ian was here and in your place at the time your father had his final minutes, so Ian probably was doing something. Maybe not. We don't put everything on Ian, but wouldn't be surprised if he timed it that way. Just for you, because you're a regular contributor, you get special privileges and perks. Right? You.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm crying now.
Oh, you're crying. Okay, well, we'll just put the mic up close to her, Carolyn, so we can hear it. And we'll record this and make it a new hit album.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Madeline. We'll tell people you were crying because Bob was ending, not that your father was ending.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Yes, she's
no,
crying finally.
Because what Bob said was so sweet.
I know. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
What did you say that was sweet?
I said I dropped in right for the last hour of her father's life to permeate into Madeline, who had contributed a lot to Iondom over the last 6 months, just to massage her and get the benefits from it.
Yeah.
Of whatever was happening to your father. Madeline can't even speak now. She's weeping into the faces in the pillow.
Happily.
Happily weeping.
Yeah.
Remember in the Veep, Julia, she's the vice president, she's really frustrated. She goes into the office, shuts the door, kicks the staff out, and then she takes the pillow and screams into the pillow.
But here, people can feel free to weep in public.
Not because we're loving, but we don't care. Look at these guys over on the chat line. They're not paying hardly any attention to the amazing stuff I've played the last 2-3 hours.
They're going to be so annoyed when it's all shut down. They won't have anything to do with their fingers.
Yeah, and they'll probably get into some desperate fighting over there and regret that they even engaged in the chat line. So, I'm sending my second last email out to tell everybody to join us. I said 7 p.m. That's coming up right now, 2 hours. Yeah. And can anybody say, what? Exactly. Is Carolyn right? Is this the right time? I mean, is it 2 hours before we get to, we should check.
If you divide 24, 24 hours in a day into 144, you get
six days. It's
exactly
incredible.
Exactly six.
It's perfect.
Days. Yeah.
I worked 6 days, just like
and
the
on
creation.
The seventh day, he rested.
Yes. No, you guys rested. I carried on working. I didn't need to rest.
Well, tomorrow you're going to, at least going to the beach.
Yes, I would be going to the beach tomorrow. But, yes, isn't that perfect, Madeline? 6 days. You worked your butt off for 6 days. And that's another thing, Madeline. You would never imagine any climactic or the first party of Ion that your father would be passing during the party. See, that's something you never could have predicted a year ago or 6 months ago, right?
Yeah, no kidding. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's the weirdness of life.
And you asked about Madeline's father, didn't you?
She asked me to talk to her about it a week ago, and she said, if you can't make it, you're busy preparing for the, so I said, well, Madeline, send me your phone number, and I don't think you sent me your phone number, Madeline.
Not in time.
Yeah, not in time, so it worked out.
But, I mean, 20 minutes ago, you just brought